Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Today's guest is Dr. Alexander Fleming. He is invited to Westmoreland Community Connections to talk about the concussion clinic and the baseline impact testing that Independence Health offers. Dr. Fleming, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about concussions with you today.
Well, this is a really hot topic because about the middle of summer, all the sports activities heat up for the fall. That means football, that means soccer, that means baseball, softball, gymnastics, cheerleading, everything is going to heat up. And so, what we almost sometimes forget is that a baseline impact test should be done before these young people start their sports season. Isn't that right?
Yes, it's something that we prefer to have done prior to the start of the fall sports season. The baseline impact gives us an initial assessment of someone's cognitive abilities, verbal memory, all these different aspects that we measure during the computerized testing for the patients, and just gives us a comparison point to point to and say that this is where you're at before the start of football season. And then if you were to sustain a head injury, gives us something to say, and now you're here. And also gives us the point to say that, as hopefully you recover through your concussion, that you're back to your baseline. And the initial baseline impact test basically gives us that point to let us know where you are in comparison to when you might have sustained the head injury.
Perfect. So, how does it work? I mean, do they come in? Is there a visual testing? Is it, how does it work?
Yeah, so basically they come in, it's about 20 to 25 minutes sitting in front of a computer. We have all the software and everything you need. And basically it goes through five different levels are mainly assessed. So the first one being verbal memory. The second one is more visual memory. There's a visual motor component, a reaction time, and then also an impulse control monitor. And those are kind of the five main tools that are used during the computer assessment, mostly using mouse and keyboard through the impact testing software that we have.
Perfect. And I mean, if you're a parent of a young person, should you be calling and making an appointment? Is this something insurance covers? What process do you recommend here?
Most of the local high schools actually have already implemented this tool. So if you're in middle school or high school at any of the surrounding Westmoreland County high schools and middle schools, you're going to have this as part of kind of your introduction into sports. If your school does not offer this, the fee would be $25. You contact our office, and you come in, basically have the test done. Insurance doesn't cover this, so regardless if you're insured, uninsured, any of those things, the fee is still going to be $25, but that will be your baseline impact test that then allows us to compare it in the future.
Okay, perfect. So then you keep that on file and then you hope that the children never come back.
That's right. That's right. So we keep it on file. We actually give you this impact ID as well, so you can take that with you. Many colleges are also utilizing the impact concussion testing, so it's something that you can use in the future as well.
So what happens during a concussion?
So a concussion is actually a subset of a mild traumatic brain injury. It's usually not something where the structure of the brain changes. It's more a functional disturbance that usually happens where certain neurotransmitters are released after a blow to the head. There can be structural changes associated with that in addition to bleeding, but those aren't necessarily requirements used to diagnose a concussion. So it's more of that functional disturbance that really kind of typifies a concussion.
And no, almost no sport is immune to that, right? Other than maybe chess, right?
Yeah,
Everything else,
pretty much
you're.
anything where there's a ball flying through the air, there's a chance of falling. You're going to be at risk for a concussion. As you mentioned, football, hockey are probably the two highest male-dominated concussion sports in the United States. And then soccer is also pretty high, especially for females as far as concussions. So those are really the highest risk sports. Wrestling, any kind of more combat type sports also put your head at a greater risk of injury. They're usually about 1.4 to 3.8 million concussions throughout the United States per year. Sports only relate a small percentage of that, even though that's something that I mostly focus on, and a lot of the new research is coming out on too, but it still only makes up a small subset of all concussions that occur in the United States.
Have you seen more awareness surrounding concussions in this part of your career?
Definitely. The NFL, through good and bad things, has made concussions more prevalent. I can always remember the sight of, I'm going to butcher his name, but Tua Tagovailoa, the
Right.
quarterback for the Dolphins, kind of in that posturing position after he had his head injury. And the seeing that on national TV, I think, raises awareness for players, for coaches, for parents, for everyone. And that makes our job a lot easier in some respects. I feel like over the past 10 to 15 years, concussion has kind of been this, yeah, well, we don't really know a lot of things, and we're not really sure what to do. And I feel like there's a lot more definitive data about return to play protocols, treatment protocols, all of those kind of things that have been more standardized due to increased focus on those things, due to some of the national spotlight at the higher levels of sport.
And CTE awareness as well.
Yes, so CTE is something else that, especially in Pittsburgh with Mike Webster and other things with Junior Seau, has certainly become more prominent too.
But certainly, blows to the head repeatedly are probably not a good idea in any case.
That's true. We're still learning a lot about how the brain is reacting to the blows to the head, whether you get a concussion or the kind of subsymptomatic trauma that a lot of athletes sustained during everyday basis. That's why a lot of the NFLs and colleges have moved to the guardian caps and helmets that are used during practices to kind of try and decrease the risk of those kind of daily blows that they're experiencing, from two helmets striking each other that happen, in a given practice, maybe 100 to 150 times. So we're studying a lot more of those smaller blows that might add up over time compared to the one big hit where someone might end up with a concussion.
Wow. Symptoms. Talk about symptoms of a concussion.
So symptoms can be very wide ranging. Obviously, initially, loss of consciousness can be one of the main symptoms. Amnesia surrounding the initial event, headaches can be usually a very common one as well. Light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, nausea, vomiting, confusion. This kind of brain fog or difficulty with cognitive function. A lot of people say that they feel a lot more tired and fatigued throughout the day or sleep more. Some people sleep less. Sometimes you can feel increases in anxiety, depression, as well, feeling more emotional and kind of up and down throughout the day. So there's a very kind of wide breadth of concussion symptoms that typically, the impact test can help detect through a lot of those cognitive tests. And then also, as a clinician, we ask a lot of those questions too to kind of tease out some of the details.
I've had friends who've had concussions that have become light sensitive, that have actually, really changed their ability to be outside or in even in dark, having a harder time seeing light sensitivity.
Yeah, and it's something that again is very common, especially for fluorescent lights. LED screens can also fatigue someone's eyes a lot more and make them more difficult to kind of function throughout the day. We see a lot of patients that come in with sunglasses initially that are just not able to tolerate even the natural sunlight that can sometimes be a little bit more than they can stand at the time too.
Well, when I've seen some of these more nationally known concussions, as we were talking about, really scary because there's this dazed look, on these athletes' faces, which can be scary. Sometimes the vomiting, even blood, blood, whether the head, the nose, whatever it is, those are one more serious than the other. If it's visible signs, is it more serious or hard to tell?
Not necessarily. So there are different gradings as far as a traumatic brain injury, but those are mostly related to something called the Glasgow Coma Scale, which again does not correlate to any severity of concussion or recovery time or likelihood of developing post-concussion symptoms. So generally, I like to think about a concussion as a concussion. Everyone's going to experience it differently, and most people, The vast majority of concussions get better in about 4 weeks' time without any real interventions. And a lot of those symptoms that patients might feel and the severity of the initial blow, even how long they might have been unconscious for, doesn't really correlate well with the likelihood of a swift recovery versus a more prolonged recovery.
I guess that's good, right? I mean, however you look at it, that's very interesting. So let's talk about treatment. So, a player on a football field is brought into the hospital for a concussion, or a small child on a soccer field is brought in for a concussion. What do doctors do to treat that?
Yeah, I'd say the main thing starts with identifying concussions, whether that's a coach on the field or a parent, guardian, athletic trainers more at the middle school and high school levels, is identifying a concussion and then removing patients from play. The biggest thing that we worry about with a concussion is something called second impact syndrome, which is where basically patient haven't recovered fully from their initial head injury. And if they're struck again in the head before that brain has fully recovered, it can lead to increased intracranial pressure, which can lead to brain herniation and then also possible death. So that's the main thing that we're worried about when we're on the sideline or monitoring athletes, is making sure that we're removing them appropriately if we suspect a concussion. So that's kind of the first line treatment, is removing players, people from possibly injuring their head again. The second thing is, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that hence the protocols that you were talking about, the return to play protocols, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we're becoming more strict and figuring out better processes to make sure that players are returning safely to their given sport. The second thing is ruling out possible head bleeds. Subdural or epidural hematomas or intracranial hemorrhage is also something that can rarely happen. That's something that is a little bit separate from concussion and doesn't necessarily need to be there. But certain patients that are experiencing significant altered alertness, whether it's to verbal stimuli or motor skills, variations in speech patterns, and then prolonged vomiting greater than 3 times usually is kind of a sign that more advanced imaging and going to the hospital is probably going to be warranted. So those are probably the first two things that we immediately think of when someone is injured. As far as treatments in the long term, there are a couple of different things that have come to light over the past 10 years. Initially, when I was growing up and playing high school sports, if you had a concussion, it was kind of go lay down, rest, kind of rest your brain, rest your body to kind of let things heal. And they've actually done studies that being more active, using some of your cognitive processes, doing physical activity and exerting yourself can decrease your overall symptom length and basically increase your body's healing rate and getting back to that normal brain function. And we call that some symptom threshold exercise, is the terminology. So let's say normally, after you have a concussion, you're having some headaches, and they're a 2 out of 10 at their worst. So I want to have you exercise and just go out there and do some walking, some light brisk walking, to the point where your symptoms aren't increasing by more than a score of 1 or 2 points. So once you get up to like that 4 out of 10 or 5 out of 10, that probably means you're doing too much. So you want to kind of stay in that 2 to 3 to 4 point range as you're doing your exercise, and that built your body's ability to exercise kind of regulates your autonomic system and can improve your brain's ability to get back to that normal level, as far as the neurotransmitters and different metabolic processes that I mentioned before that are disturbed during a concussion. That's something else that we do in a lot of patients, is prescribe them exercise, and then also some cognitive utilization during their initial concussion symptoms.
I mean, it makes sense. With any other part of the body, you'd be rehabbing it, right? You'd be in
Correct.
physical therapy, you'd be moving it. And so I think that definitely makes sense for sure. How long do these last? I mean, is this a 6 month process, a 6 week process?
So the typical recovery time after a concussion is 4 weeks. That's when the vast majority of patients, whether they're athletes, whether they're people that weren't injured in an athletic field, do get better, with or without any intervention they found. 4 week mark is the typical recovery period. There are some risk factors that patients can have that can kind of lead to them possibly taking longer. The biggest one is if you had prior concussion, you're at a little bit higher risk of it taking a little bit longer to recover from a subsequent concussion. Usually, that's when you get more into the 2 to 3 previous concussions. The first one's kind of a freebie. Also, female sex is an increased risk factor for a little bit longer time to recover. Previous migraine history, learning disabilities, history of anxiety and depression can also lead to a little bit longer symptom duration for patients. So some of those risk factors can impact your ability to recover, but outside of those, 4 weeks is a typical recovery.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Our guest today is Dr. Alexander Fleming. He's with Independence Health, and he's talking about the concussion clinic and the baseline impact testing available at Independence Health. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Dr. Fleming's educational background and why he decided to go into such an important field of medicine. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Our guest today is Dr. Alexander Fleming. He's talking about the concussion clinic and baseline impact testing available at Independence Health. We really appreciate you being on the show. Such an interesting conversation. You're so knowledgeable about all this. Do you mind taking a step back now and talking a little bit about you, where you grew up, your education?
Of course, of course. So I'm from Murraysville, Pennsylvania. I went to Franklin Regional High School. There, athletics were a big part of my upbringing and background. I played baseball, I wrestled, I played football, and then I played football all the way through college and wrestled all the way through high school too. So I feel like athletics were really a big part of my upbringing and really helped me get to where I am today.
Great. And where did you end up going to school?
I went to Davidson College in North Carolina. Obviously, many people know it for Steph Curry, but they also play football down there too. I was able to continue my athletic career and focus a lot of my studies on majored in biology down there before going to Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine for my medical training. And then I returned to this area for my family medicine residency at La Trobe Hospital, and then did a 1 year sports medicine fellowship up at the University at Buffalo. Working with their football, basketball, and various athletic programs there in the MAC conference.
Oh, you just kept going north, colder and colder, didn't you?
It's kind of been bouncing back and forth, but I'm happy to be back in the area where I grew up.
So in osteopath school, you could have taken many, many different paths after that for fellowship training specialty. And why did you decide sports medicine?
I think what really drew me to this profession was the ability to work with a bunch of different people, getting to see all the different athletes, whether they're high school athletes, whether they're weekend warriors, whether they're someone that just wants to be able to go out and run or walk or be continue to be active in their life. And those people are people that I could connect with on a level too as well. So having wanting to be able to help those people really drew me to this specialty. And coming from a primary care background, I'm able to appreciate a lot of different medical aspects too that also go into their care as well. So I feel like being a primary care sports medicine physician really has created a very deep background for me to best treat athletes for concussions, for other injuries. In order to best serve them and treat them based on their goals.
You know, when I was working at Independence, then at Excella, it was a very, very big win when a resident decided to stay. That's the whole point of a residency program is to develop the future leaders of the physician group there. So I'm sure they were excited, but I have to ask, your parents and your family have to be thrilled that you ended up coming back to Westmoreland County.
Definitely, definitely. Both my parents are very happy. They still live in Murraysville. I have a brother, and I have two nieces now and one nephew that also he actually works at as a CRNA up in Butler too. That I'm really happy to see and get back and be able to spend a lot more time with everyone in the community as well.
Oh, so you've got that Independence Health connection. So that's fantastic. That works out very well. Great. Why don't you tell us where your locations are? Where are your offices?
So the only office I'll be working at is on 410 Pellis Road. That's where all of our concussion equipment is located as far as the impact test. We also have other testing available here, which is right eye, DynaVision, and a BioDex, which are all different tools that we have here that aren't located at any other offices. So I will only be at this Greensburg location on 410 Pellis Road.
Okay, perfect. And you focus on the concussion clinic. Do you want to explain what a concussion clinic is?
So most of my focus will be at the concussion clinic, using a lot of those tools to help best utilize patients' recovery. And then, as we talked about before, the safe return to sports for our younger athletes as well. I do a number of other musculoskeletal examinations, from ankles, knees, hips, shoulders, pretty much every joint that you can mention, I can see it and help you out or figure out where you best need to go in order to get you back on the field or back doing the things that you want to do. But concussions are kind of the focus of our clinic here.
Perfect. How would people make an appointment?
The best way is to call our office. I don't know our phone number right
That's
now.
okay. That's okay. You can call the main number. I do know the main number, 877-771-1234. So there you go. I got that
Yep.
for you.
Perfect. Perfect. So that's the phone number. And then if you ask for the concussion clinic, you'll be sure to get on either my schedule, or we have two physician assistants here that have also been here for over 5 years and do a wonderful job as well that see
Oh,
concussion.
perfect. Oh, good. That's great. And you're definitely recommending, because I'm thinking about the high school programs, the middle school programs that have the baseline impact testing, but I'm also thinking about athletes that play for club teams or, are in competitive sports outside the school realm. They probably need to get in there.
Yeah, like I said before, the baseline concussion gives us that jumping off point to figure out where you were before compared to where you might be after a head injury. It is not necessary to do beforehand in order to diagnose it or treat a concussion. It's just one tool that we have that has been very useful for our office and does provide just that comparison for us to let us know where you were before compared to where you are now. But for $25, if you stop by, we have different testing for patients that are above 12. We have tests available for patients that are under 12. So some of the younger athletes before they reach middle school, we have a separate test for them that is more aligned with kind of the more pediatric version of the test. And then for the patients over 12, they'll get the standard baseline impact test as well.
Perfect. And then you also offer, you probably work in conjunction with other physicians. You probably report back to that individual's PCP. You have access to neurology if you need it, right? I mean, there's a sort of a complement of care.
Definitely. We like to be a full collaborative team here within the orthopedic department and then all the other departments too. We work hand in hand with the neurologists, especially patients that have persistent headaches going on. We refer out to them fairly frequently in order to treat prolonged headaches that patients might still be suffering from, at that 3 to kind of 6 month mark. We work a lot with our other orthopedic surgeons for any other musculoskeletal injuries that patients might return with. We also work hand in hand with our physical therapists. A lot of patients that have concussions also get neck pain or have neck injuries that they have to work with. We work a lot with our vestibular therapists to work on a lot of those eye movements for patients that are still having difficulty with their balance, difficulty with blurry vision. So we work a lot with the therapist probably the most, and then some of the other individuals within Independence Health, especially neurology and the orthopedic department.
I want to be clear too that you are sports medicine, but that doesn't mean that that's the only way you can get a concussion and be seen by you, right? I mean, this could be, God forbid, a car accident, a broken nose, a fall, right? I mean, it's not just athletes.
Definitely. Yeah, I think even this week I've seen someone that fell backwards, someone that passed out due to the heat wave that we had and fell
Oh.
and hit their head. Saw another individual that was in a motor vehicle accident. So we do see pretty much every person that would have a concussion or is concerned about a concussion. We get a lot of referrals from the emergency room to our clinic in order for patients to be seen after their initial head injury is possibly imaged or all of those kind of things. So, correct. You do not have to be an athlete in order to be seen at the concussion.
And then just a little nuance here about the car accidents, because I've seen this before. It can be a blow to the head, but can a concussion also happen from a jolt, or is it only the blow to the head?
Yeah, so whiplash is something that frequently happens during car accidents, and then also on athletic fields too. If you think about the quarterback falling backwards and hitting their head, that whiplash event is basically the brain kind of sloshing around a little bit within the skull. And that can also lead to that functional disturbance in the brain function that can lead to a concussion. So you do not need to hit your head or have a bruise on your head in order to sustain a concussion.
Wow. And then what's your advice for parents of children who are young all the way up to high school age about protecting them from concussions?
I think the biggest thing is to make sure that the coach is aware. The coaches are going to be a lot of the first line people there that know a lot of the kids, that work with a lot of the kids each day. So just talking to them ahead of time and having a general plan as far as spotting players, removing players from the game is probably the most important thing, because the coaches are going to be there at all the practices. They're going to be there at all the games. You know, unfortunately, parents can't be at every single thing every single time. So just bringing it up and having a plan of action ready and discussing, you know, what symptoms to look for and those kind of things, so that the main thing that we want to avoid as much as possible is that second impact syndrome. And if we can stop those from happening, that'll remove a lot of the more scary and terrifying outcomes that a concussion can lead to.
Right. Because the reality is that kids are going to play sports, right? I mean, very few parents are going to say, no, you can't do that. But they may choose to limit their risk, right, by making sure that if there is a blow to the head, that they're sitting out long enough, that they're getting the proper treatment, or finding a sport that's less impactful, I guess. So, you know, I'm thinking of the baseline impact test, yep, whatever it is. But you do feel that coaches and really athletes and their families are much more aware than they were before.
For sure. And I think the popularity of the NFL has led to a lot of that awareness. Anytime that you're going out there playing any competitive sport, you're putting yourself at risk. But the benefits of sports have been so well documented, as far as more athletes go to college, they usually have better grades. Even in season, a lot of athletes have better grades when they're actively playing their sport compared to out of the season. So the benefits of sports and teamwork and learning about leadership and all of those different things that kind of sports enable us to do are so beneficial that I want patients to be able to experience sports as much as possible in a safe manner. And it is somewhat mitigating risk, but you know, it's part of life too. So you have to figure out what works best for you.
Dr. Alexander Fleming with Independence Health on the show today, talking about the concussion clinic and baseline impact testing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you all and teach a little bit about concussions. And hopefully you don't need us, but if you do, we're out here in Greensburg for anything that you might need.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.